dick.
SM presents The Tim Weisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Weisberg Show.
Welcome into the program. Happy Thursday to you. It's cold out, but man, do those first sips of coffee hit especially good today? And we are ready to talk with you about the stories of the day. And hopefully you are somewhere where you are warm and where you don't have to roll out of bed yet. You know, that's the great thing about the WBSM app. It has so many great features. One of them is an alarm feature that you can set to wake up with WBSM. You use the alarm in the app. You don't have to use the alarm app on your phone anymore. I mean, unless you need multiple alarms like me. But you can just set the alarm within the WBSM app and you'll wake up listening to the station already, no matter what time you get up. The only problem for me is, so I set the WBSM app to be one of my alarms. And, you know, like, I try not to set alarms on the weekend mornings because I want to catch up on sleep. But sometimes you got things you got to do and you want to be up by a certain time. And so the WBSM app will wake me up on a Saturday or Sunday and I'll hear the station and be like, what's going on? Or like I'll have a dream where I'm at work because it's bleeding in and I'm still half asleep. So, you know, it's a little bit more demanding of me than it might be of the rest of you. But we will be talking about some different stories today. Later on this morning, we're going to be joined by Shakira Gonsalves of Reggae on West Beach. They are helping the family that was displaced by the fire that happened that you just heard Phil talking about in New Bedford. They're putting together a little relief effort for them. So we're going to talk with her for a few moments later on in the program. But we've been talking now for the last week or so about this rise of incidents of violence. And I don't know that it is a rise per se, but it feels like it. It feels like we're getting some horrible stories with the murder. Well, what's being tried as a murder at Morton Lounge. The girl shot in the face, teen girl shot in the face in Easton. The Abington murder that we were talking about, where a taunt man was arrested for that. Providence has had a few incidents. I mean, there's been a lot of things that have gone on, but yesterday's story was especially disturbing. And Phil talked about it in the news, but we can get into some more details of it here. But we were getting messages throughout the course of the day yesterday, because this incident took place at about 10:30 in the morning. And not long after, I was actually in a meeting at that time. And while I was in the meeting, I was getting notified about this incident that happened at Dartmouth High School, in which one student attempted to stab another student. Fashioned, I guess, a weapon out of a pencil attaching a screwdriver. I'm going to guess that it was attached because according to Dartmouth police, the suspect attempted to stab the victim using a pen with a screwdriver on the other end. And I looked up online to say, you know, do they make pens that have a screwdriver on the other end? That would be a handy thing to have. I think it'd be less of a pen that's a screwdriver and more of a screwdriver that's a pen, but whatever it might be. I looked to see if that was it and I couldn't find anything. So I'm led to assume that this means that they were fashioning this weapon themselves, you know, taping a screwdriver to the end of a pen or something. either way, attempting to stab another student. And by the way, the police press release does not mention whether it was a boy or a girl, either the suspect or the victim. But we were hearing it was two girls. And, you know, I wouldn't take that to the bank necessarily, but that's what a lot of the reports were that were coming in to us yesterday. Part of the problem with not having more information on this and only being able to work off what police told us is, if you remember, we talked about this last week, the Dartmouth Police Department has gone encrypted on all emergency broadcasts. So all of their police calls are encrypted, not just ones that they want to make encrypted, which this one probably would have been anyway because it's dealing with underage kids, I'm assuming. But still, we have very little details. And then you have a concerning situation for parents who are only getting the updates that they're getting from what the police were putting on Facebook. And it was very limited information. There was no scanner traffic for someone to be able to post about for parents to have a better idea of what's going on because it is encrypted. And I believe I said this last week, but if I didn't, I should have. While I understand the policy, I don't like it. While I understand the need to protect people's private information because everybody runs to the scanner apps when they hear something's going on, they start putting out the information, whether it's verified or not, as fact on social media. So I understand it, but I don't like it. And this is an example of why, depending on where you come down on the issue, why it either all communication should be encrypted or why they shouldn't be. Because you had a lot of parents that were panicking when all that we really got for information was that there was a shelter in place order at Dartmouth High School. And the reason why there was a shelter in place order was because the school staff and police needed to locate the weapon. It also says the suspect was arrested and transported to a local hospital and is being charged with assault with a dangerous weapon, assault with intent to murder, assault and battery, and assault with intent to cause bodily harm, although the victim was not injured. But the sentence right there, the suspect was arrested and transported to a local hospital, and also saying, you know, there were no physical injuries. You can kind of put two and two together and make the assumption that this person who perpetrated this attack was having a mental health episode. And as responsible journalists and as practitioners of what we like to call compassionate coverage, if not for the fact that the Dartmouth police encrypted all their broadcasts and people were wondering about what was going on, I don't know that I would have written about this otherwise. Because it's somebody going through a mental health episode. I guess the public place that it happened in kind of outweighs a lot of that. But if the families had been notified by the school department and told all this information, I might have said, do we need to write about somebody having a mental issue? But because they encrypted it, we have no choice because there's too many people that have questions. Too many people that don't keep up with the police Facebook posts. So then we have to put out the information. But what is this all about? And it says here in the release that the suspect and the victim were known to each other. Now, Dartmouth High School is a It's a big, pretty good sized school, but not entirely out of the realm of possibility that you could know a lot of your fellow students, at least be aware of who they are. So that phrase could mean, oh, they know each other because they had a couple of classes together, or, you know, this person knew that that person was related to this person or whatever. But the way the police, you know, put that in, again, I can make an assumption here, an educated guess, that there was probably some ongoing issues between these two people, that this wasn't out of the blue. So I don't know how you feel about this, having a situation that goes down like this where a school has a shelter-in-place order and then you don't really get any more information for hours. By the time the police wrote up a press release and posted it, the students were already home from school. Kids were already telling their parents what had happened. And then, if not for, you know, following the Dartmouth police on social media, I wouldn't have seen this until the town put out a press release about it. The town basically put out the police press release at 6:43 p.m. So that's a long time to go without giving people information for why there was a shelter-in-place order in a public school, where all the broadcasts were encrypted, so nobody had an idea of what was going on. 508-996-0500. What are your thoughts on that? We also have App Chat open and open line voicemails available on the WBSM app. I did get a submission yesterday. I've been asking all week for folks to send me an open line voicemail telling me your name, where you're from, how you listen, and what you love about WBSM. And everybody that enters will be, everybody that sends one in will be entered to win a Seize the Deal certificate, or actually probably an e-voucher since we're moving to those. And I got a submission yesterday. Maybe we'll play it later on in the program. But we've got that feature there for you any time of day so that you can always just open it up and record what you want to say. Even if we're not on the air and, you know, Howie Carr is on or syndicated programming's on or something else that's not the topic that you wanted to address, you can always just go on the app, record it, and send it in. And, of course, the App Chat feature allows you to text us here in the studio. So hopefully you'll utilize some of those features, as well as the other great features we have on the app, including live traffic and weather and all of our stories, podcasts, live streaming audio, contests, all kinds of great stuff. And it's all brought to you by South Coast Towing. So if you haven't downloaded the app already, you can do so at your app store or go to WBSM.com and click on the Listen tab and you can get it emailed right over to your device. And the WBSM app is not connected in any way to the Chinese Communist Party, so you can expect to see the app will still be there next week. But so may TikTok, on your phone at least already. If you didn't hear the tech report on America in the Morning, the measure that will go into place next week actually just calls for the removal of TikTok from your app stores. If you have it on your phone, it will still work. However, it won't be able to update. And I don't know if there'll be, you know, if you try to upload something, if that's going to work. So it's not going to just disappear from your phone. It's not Nessun. You're not just going to go to turn it on and it's going to not be there anymore. By the way, I checked yesterday. I still have Nessun, Comcast, Sportsnet, all that. So I'm sure they're just up my already way too high cable bill because of the tier that I'm on. But You know, there was a similar thing that happened with an app that I had called Flappy Bird. It was a game. Do you remember that game? Anybody play that? Where it's a bird that you've got to keep tapping the screen to make it flap its wings. Then you got to fly between these obstacles. And it's very simple, but very addicting and very difficult. And it was all the rage, you know, 10 years ago or so, maybe 8 years ago or so. And then it got pulled down from the App Store because the entire design of the game looked way too much like the Cheep Cheeps from Super Mario Brothers. And the backgrounds look like Super Mario Brothers and all that. So Nintendo actually fought back and said, you know, we want this removed. And it got removed from the App Store. But anybody that had it on their phone was still able to keep playing it. And I had it on my phone. I had it on my tablet. And so I still have it and I can still play it. But I can't delete it because I'll never get it back. So every time I have to upgrade my phone, and I've done that a few times since it was pulled from the market, I always say, like, all right, just we got to make sure that the Flappy Bird transfers over. That Flappy Bird game, the first cruise that I went on, I had no internet signal because I didn't get the internet package. I thank Flappy Bird for getting me through some of the downtime that I had on the ship. Because I spent hours playing that game, you know, waiting to meet up with people and do our plans. But so maybe the same thing is going to happen with TikTok next week. Now, it's possible that soon-to-be President Trump could extend how long it'll be before it has to go away so they can continue working out a potential sale. But the ban goes into place on the 19th, and he doesn't take office until the 20th. So I didn't hear Joe Biden say anything last night about wanting to save TikTok as he was wrapping things up. So we'll see what happens on Sunday and then again what happens on Monday. And by the way, if it's pulled on Monday, on Sunday, and then they want to reinstate it on Monday, it would be pretty easy to do. It's not like they're going to make TikTok wait for the approval period for putting a new app up or something. Like ByteDance is an established creator with them. It would go pretty smoothly. So you might have a day where you can't download it. But we'll see what happens. 508-996-0500. I've got to take a break here. We'll be back in a few moments. Welcome back in. Matthew Wilder, Break My Stride. And right now, we're not going to break stride. We're going to turn things right over to Phil Devitt in the WBSM newsroom.
Biden says goodbye while issuing a warning. Progress in containing the California wildfires. And a sticky anniversary in Boston.
From the WBSM newsroom, this is WBSM News.
President Biden used his goodbye speech to warn the nation of what he called incoming dangers.
Today, an oligarchy is taking shape in America of extreme wealth, power, and influence that literally threatens our entire democracy, our basic rights and freedoms, and a fair shot for everyone to get ahead.
He told Americans so much is at stake, referring to climate change in particular, and the wildfires in California.
Firefighters made significant progress battling the wildfires burning around Los Angeles on Wednesday. Containment lines are growing on the Eaton and Palisades fires, despite a final round of windy weather. But authorities are investigating several cases of arson, including one person who admitted to setting a fire, quote, because he liked the smell of burning leaves. The 67th Annual Grammy Awards will still take place on Sunday, February 2nd at the Crypto.com Arena in Los Angeles, though the Recording Academy has refocused its aim to support relief efforts following the wildfires. Israel and Hamas have agreed to a ceasefire in Gaza after 15 months of intense conflict. The deal includes an exchange of hostages held by Hamas for Palestinian prisoners held by Israel. While Israel achieved significant military gains, the war failed to eliminate Hamas and resulted in the deaths of thousands of Palestinians. The ceasefire agreement faces significant challenges, including the continued Israeli blockade of Gaza and deep divisions between Israelis and Palestinians. President-elect Donald Trump's cabinet picks are moving forward in the Senate despite some controversy. Pete Hegseth, nominated for defense secretary, appears to be on track for confirmation after a heated Senate hearing, with support from Senate Republicans helping to push other nominees through. Meanwhile, more contentious picks like Kash Patel and Robert F. Kennedy Jr. still face scrutiny from both parties. Trump's allies, including figures like Elon Musk, have rallied behind Hegseth, boosting his momentum. With Republicans holding a slim majority, Senate votes on key nominations are expected to begin on Inauguration Day, January 20th. Canada's Energy Minister Jonathan Wilkinson warned U.S. lawmakers that President-elect Trump's proposed tariffs on Canada could raise prices for Americans, including gas, food, and energy costs. Trump's 25% tariff threat on Canada, Mexico, and others has raised concerns about economic consequences. In response, Canada is considering retaliatory tariffs on U.S. goods like steel and orange juice. U.S. lawmakers are introducing legislation to limit Trump's tariff powers, reflecting growing concern over potential price hikes and economic disruption. And this week marks the anniversary of the 1919 Boston Molasses Flood, a tragic accident that killed 21 people when a giant tank of molasses ruptured in the city's north end. While the incident may seem like a bizarre historical footnote, a Boston University researcher argues it offers valuable lessons about the city's waterfront and its resilience in the face of disaster. The flood, she says, highlights the complex relationship between industry, community, and the environment, and underscores the importance of careful planning and regulation as Boston navigates future challenges like sea level rise.
WBSM Sports.
The Boston Celtics gearing up for their game with the Orlando Magic Friday night at TD Garden, while the Bruins are away to face the Ottawa Senators on Saturday afternoon.
Now your ABC 6 South Coast forecast.
Partly cloudy, less wind, a high of 33 degrees today. On Friday, mostly sunny with a high of 36. On Saturday, partly cloudy, increasing clouds with late rain developing, a high of 45. And on Sunday, morning sunshine followed by afternoon clouds and snow possible overnight into Monday, a high of 41. This WBSM News Update is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. Look for the purple dot to try before you buy, only at Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven. I'm Phil Devitt for WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's news talk station, WBSM, and get all of our content and breaking news alerts with the WBSM app.
When I go to Brax and I see the menu, everything I want is everything I see, because it all looks so good there. And what's great about Brax Grill and Tap is that right now, well, not right now, they're not open yet, but later on this morning, if you're looking for a nice lunch, start heading on over to Brack's in Taunton and Brockton and get yourself their lunch value menu, $12.99 Monday through Friday, with items like a half pizza and salad combo, the saucy bird chicken sandwich, or their pasta of the day, which is always creative and inventive and is not just pasta and sauce. There's so much more to it. And of course, brisket chili, their famous brisket chili, would feel good on a day like today. When I went to Brack's for the first time, the chili was the thing that I'd heard the most about from folks. So obviously I had to start my meal with it. And I'm not kidding you. It was the best chili I'd ever had in a restaurant. The Brack's brisket chili. But they also have Portuguese kale soup, classic clam chowder, and other soups as well to warm you up. Plus the bourbon bacon burger, chicken and waffles, barbecue turkey tips. They've even got a kid's menu with their $12.99 lunch menu Monday through Friday. You can find out more about that by going to BracksGrillAndTap.com or just stop by Brack's Grill and Tap in Taunton or Brockton. And we also have the story up at WBSM.com how they'll soon be fully taking over the Boston Tavern in Middleborough. And then you'll be able to get even more of their great meals at that third location. So check out BracksGrillAndTap.com for more information. And make sure you follow them on social media. They do a lot of great stuff in the community, raising money for nonprofits and worthy causes. My number here, 508-996-0500. Let's go to the phones. Good morning. You're on WBSM.
Good morning. Could you please tell me, was there a power outage this early in the morning, 3 to 5?
Not that I'm aware of. What area are you in? You don't have to give me your exact address, but just give me the idea of the area.
Schenectady.
All right. I can check the Eversource outage map, but you've got power now?
Yeah.
So you just think that it might have gone out a little bit overnight?
Yeah. That's why I'm wondering. I'll listen to the radio, and if you find out, let me know.
Yeah, I'll take a look. I know that, normally if the power goes out here, we have a generator that kicks in, so I wouldn't see any signs of it here, so I'll have to see what the Eversource site says.
Okay, thank you very much.
Have a good day.
Bye-bye.
And, my heat was reset here in the studio when I came in, but that's been happening on a regular basis, like multiple times during the day. Obviously the heating company's busy with people that actually have no heat whatsoever. We still have it in the building. It's just the studio gets cold. It's in its own separate zone. But that was happening anyway. Trying to think of what else would indicate here that power had gone out. But let me just type in. I type my phone number into the outage map to see. Oh, now I got to click on the traffic lights. Okay. Oh, man, come on. I hate these picture puzzle versions. Did it not work? Okay. They don't give you a map? Come on. All right, well, I'll see what I can find. Or maybe someone out there listening knows for sure if the power has gone out. We can check that out as well. I don't want to get too much into the national stuff today because there's a lot of local things that we can talk about. Governor Healey proposing some regulations for people staying in state-supported shelters. Of course, the incident that happened at Dartmouth High School. But also, just to take a look at the national scene for a moment, President Biden last night in his farewell address warned of the oligarchy that he said is coming in America. And when you look at how, first of all, Elon Musk has established himself as being an important voice in the incoming Trump administration. Mark Zuckerberg and Jeff Bezos have decided to bend the knee to Trump. There are a number of billionaires that will be part of the administration or will have a voice in the administration. Does that concern you? Does that make you think it is an oligarchy? Or do you think that that word is a little bit more reserved for when it's those people that are actually calling the shots as opposed to just advising? Certainly, I'm concerned about, you know, these people with these vast amounts of money having a say, because what are they really going to be looking for? They're going to be looking for protecting their own interests. But I also look at it like this. I mean, I know people out there have their conspiracy theories about Bill Gates, but he's given away a lot of his money and done a lot of good with the money that he has. And so if he's advising a president about what's going on in the world, especially in dealing with the things that he's focused on, like world health, hunger, things of that nature, I think he's an important voice to have advocating for that cause. And if he has the power and the influence to be able to speak directly with the president about it, so be it. And the other part of it is Donald Trump supposedly is a billionaire, and he's going to know and trust other billionaires. So like if I suddenly became president of the United States and some of my advisors and even cabinet picks or people that I worked with in radio, I can't imagine people would be like, well, look at that guy. He's just surrounding himself with people from radio. Well, yeah, because that's who he knows and trusts. That's who he wants advising him. People whose advice he's taken over the years. So I'm not concerned enough that I'm worried about an oligarchy, but I think it's an interesting point because we all know money has influenced politics forever, but it's usually been more in the shadows. Hasn't been as out front as it is. I mean, in the past, certainly it was. I mean, you don't think William Randolph Hearst was a significant political figure of his time? Of course he was. Andrew Carnegie, all the wealthy folks over the years have had the ears of presidents. It's nothing new. But to give them positions, that's a different story. But again, you go with what you know, and if you are among the wealthy, you're going to know people who are wealthy. So I'm not as concerned about it as President Biden seems to be, but he's not wrong in the concerns that he has. You know, he talked about when President Eisenhower left office in 1961, he warned of the military-industrial complex, and President Biden's warning of the technology industry complex. And I think that demonizes the tech industry unnecessarily. There are a lot of great things that come about from the tech industry. We were having a conversation yesterday about, you know, what's going to happen with AI. You know, this conversation was off the air, not on the show. But I think technological advances are always concerning, and in some cases scary, but then they eventually become commonplace. There was a time when people thought radios didn't belong in cars. And look at us now. You're taking us with you wherever you go with the WBSM app. 508-996-0500. I'm going to take a break here. We'll be back in a few moments. Welcome back in, 508-996-0500. And, of course, that's a great song. were written by one of the guys from Toto, and it was originally going to be a Toto song, but Michael Jackson put it on Thriller. And if you've never heard that song with a good pair of headphones on, I recommend it. Because, you know, I've known that song forever, my whole life. I have the LP album of it, but you don't really hear all of the complications in that song until you put on a nice good pair of headphones and you hear, like, there's like a very distant, maybe like xylophone or glockenspiel sound during the first verse, and like just all this different stuff that you don't pick up on when you're listening to it on the radio or over a pair of speakers, that when you put the headphones on, you're like, wow, this is amazing. Which is, you know, the production of Quincy Jones combined with the genius of Michael Jackson. But one of the things that is human nature, I guess, is that so often we are prone to violence, as we've been dealing with here over the last few weeks. A lot of incidents of violence. And I was talking about this attempted stabbing at Dartmouth High School yesterday, and it mentions a screwdriver, a pen with a screwdriver on the other end. And I said, you know, I looked and I couldn't find something like that. So it might have been something that was fashioned by the suspect. But Jeff in Fall River says, I do have a pen with a screwdriver on one end. My pen can be changed with different tips for multiple types of screw heads, flats, flathead, Phillips star, etc. Jeff, can you do me a favor and send me a link on the app chat? And it's not that I don't believe you, sir. It's that I want to pick one of those up for myself. That sounds like it'll be pretty handy, especially around here where nobody ever has a screwdriver when you need one. Now, I have a Leatherman, so I have it when I need it, and I can always go out to the car and get my tools, but you know how it goes, right? People will be like, oh, I need a screwdriver. Well, let's go check the back drawer and see if there's... No, I'll just keep the pen right on my desk. Sounds like that could be very helpful. And if you're looking to be very helpful, Tremblay Bus Company is looking for help. They're looking for school bus drivers, van drivers, bus monitors. And it's a perfect job for somebody who just needs to earn a little bit of extra money. Or maybe somebody who is a retiree. Maybe somebody who is a stay-at-home parent and needs to be able to work around their kid's schedule. These are all perfect fits to work for Tremblay Bus Company. Now you're saying to yourself, well, I'd love to do that. I'd love to be a bus driver, but I don't have a CDL. That's okay, because if you are willing to learn, they are willing to train you. They will make sure that you get your CDL and you are able to drive the school bus. And then think about what a great job that is. It's your efforts every day that get those children to school and then home again. The getting to school part, that's not that important to the kids, but the getting home part, that's pretty important to the kids. So you could be, and think about all the great bus drivers you had as a kid, right? You could be that for the next generation of students. But if you want to find out more information about how to apply or what's involved, just go to the Tremblay Bus Company website, tbcbus.com. Tremblay Bus Company, TBC. tbcbus.com, and you can find out all the information there. What's involved? How do you start the process? What can you expect? And if I was the bus driver, I'd be one of those bus drivers that was like, give me every field trip assignment that you can. And then I would say, and do I get to go into the place as well? I used to love it when the bus driver came into places. Go to the art museum in Boston, the Museum of Fine Arts. Well, let the bus driver come in. Don't sit on the bus the whole time waiting for us. That could be you. Again, tbcbus.com. Let me take my final break of this hour, and we'll be back in a few moments.
Girl, we've been meant for this.
And coming up in the next hour, you know, speaking of TikTok, it can do a lot of bad. It can do a lot of good as well. But we've got an interesting story about TikTok coming up on the other side of the news that we'll share with you. And, of course, more of your phone calls, 508-996-0500. App chat, open line voicemails on the WBSM app. And don't forget, too, that we have 2 days left for you to enter to win tickets to see Sarah Silverman at the Vets in Providence. It's happening a week from today, a week from tonight. You could win a pair of tickets to see Sarah Silverman in her post-mortem tour. And it's going to be a very funny show. She's pretty profane, but very, very funny. And you can enter to win at WBSM.com and on the WBSM app right now. And it's brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits, 115 Huddleston Avenue in Fairhaven, the home of the Purple Dot, where you can try before you buy. We'll talk a little bit more about Stevie's coming up as well. But right now, we're going to go into the news.